Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a tough epoch of time to live as a Christian. It is simply politically incorrect to say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, or to say that Jesus Christ is the only way. That is considered intolerant. In other words, what we're called to say is that all religions lead to God. But that is not only incorrect, it is illogical. When you begin to examine world religions such as Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism, you're going to immediately recognize that they directly contradict one another. I mean, Moses taught that there was only one God. Krishna believed in many gods. Buddha was agnostic. So logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Not only that, but the road of religion leads steeply uphill. The road of Christianity descends downward. In other words, religion is always fallen humanity's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. Christianity, on the other hand, is a divine gift based on what Christ has done. He lived the perfect life that we can never live, and he offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. Jesus said, and note, it is the divine Jesus who said, there is only one way to God. I am that way, said Jesus. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus validated that statement through the immutable fact of his resurrection. So the opinions of all other religious leaders, everyone who wants to be politically correct, are equally valid only in that they are equally worthless. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ believes in the one who had the power to lay down his life and to take up it again, and therefore, his opinion is infinitely more valid than the opinion of anyone else. And Jesus is the only one who could live the perfect life that could bridge the chasm between a holy God and an unholy people. So whether it's incorrect or not, from a political standpoint, as Christians, we don't want to be politically correct. We want to be biblically correct. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up today, Hal. He's listening on WHVN in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Hal.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for your program. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
The caller was talking about baptism being necessary for salvation, and in that regard, I would like to ask you if you draw a distinction between the baptism with water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, a couple of things I would say about that. When you become a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your temple is the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And therefore, we can say that the Spirit dwelt in Moses, that the Spirit dwelt in Matthew, that the Spirit dwelt in Joshua, the Spirit dwelt in James. And you can go through both Old and New Testament and say, everyone who believed in Jesus Christ or those types and shadows looking forward to Jesus Christ were indwelt by the Spirit of God. In every epoch of time, believers are regenerated and restored. They're sanctified and sealed through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But you have to add to that something else, and that is those who are indwelt are also being infilled by the Spirit. And what that means from a biblical standpoint is Jesus is empowering us through His Spirit, and He's working redemptively within those who follow Him through the Spirit and constantly giving us the power to proclaim the gospel. He's empowering us for all kinds of works of service. So when we talk about the indwelling, that is something that everyone as a believer experiences, and the infilling is a subsequent ongoing empowerment as followers of Jesus Christ to do the work of Jesus Christ in the world.
Well, I was referring to the four Gospels where John the Baptist said that he, as a human being, could baptize with water, but there was one that would follow after him who could baptize with the Spirit.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. John the Baptist is looking forward in types and shadows to Jesus Christ, who is the substance. And the type and shadow of John's baptism with water looks forward to the substance of Christ in the sense that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin. So the type and shadow of the water that washes the body physically from stain and sweat points to the substance of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. So one is not altogether different from the other. One points to the other. And that's what you have in the Old Covenant, types and shadows that are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a forerunner to Jesus Christ. Christ was the substance of all that he foretold before Jesus Christ initiated his earthly ministry.
What I particularly had in mind was 1 Corinthians 12:13, which says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body," and that the baptism with the Spirit is what actually brings us into Christ, and that baptism with the Spirit occurs when we repent of our sins and take Jesus as our Savior. And then after that, we should be baptized in water, not to be saved, but as a testimony that we are saved.
Yeah, well said.
And that in accordance with the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching all people, and baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So would you say that that would be a reasonable reply to people who believe that water baptism is necessary to salvation? I think they're called baptismal regenerists.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, the point is that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and we're set apart through baptism.
Mm-hmm. And what actually brings us into Christ is the baptism with the Spirit. And then after that,
Well, what brings us into Christ is recognizing that we're a sinner, repenting of our sin, and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we are indwelt by the Spirit. Our temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're indwelt by the Spirit. I was simply making a distinction between indwelling and infilling in that we're continuously empowered for service so that we can be as witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and indeed throughout the world.
Well, thank you for your answer to my question.
You got it. Appreciate your question. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Christy in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Hank.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Okay, so my question is just in regards to the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a little bit confused. It says that the dead in Christ will rise, but then Jesus tells the sinner on the cross beside him that today he'll be with him in heaven. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I guess I've heard my grandma, she's a Seventh-day Adventist and stuff, and she likes to discuss all these kinds of things, and I'm just a little bit confused myself, so.
Yeah. Well, here's what's going on, Christy. When you die, or I die, or the thief on the cross died, Jesus would say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. The point is, when you die, there's an unnatural rending between the body and the soul. Mm-hmm. The body is buried. The soul is in the presence of God.
Okay.
And so, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paradise or Abraham's bosom are biblical metaphors communicating being in fellowship or relationship with God. Now, at the end of time, when Jesus Christ returns and puts all things to right, then there's going to be a general resurrection of the body. And what happens is the soul returns to the body, and then you are a human being again. Because to be fully human, you are a body-soul unity. When a woman gives birth, she doesn't give birth to a body, or she doesn't give birth to a soul. She gives birth to a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. And when Jesus returns, that's what happens. So the dead in Christ are raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But the metaphysical aspect of humanity, the soul, returns to the body. And you are then going to be a perfect person in every way, which is to say your body and your soul is going to be what it would have been if sin had never entered the world. So that's what we look forward to, and that's the hope of resurrection.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Hank.
You got it. I wrote about this in a book called Resurrection, in which I also answer a lot of questions that people have with respect to death and the afterlife. And, of course, we're looking forward to resurrection. This is the very thing that animated the early Christians. They knew that they would rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and so they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. They were willing to die because they knew that, like their master, they would rise, and they were looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which there dwells righteousness. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Laura, Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Laura.
Oh, Hank, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I truly appreciate your ministry. It's been a blessing.
Thank you.
So I'd like to talk about reconciling differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And a specific example that I have really, and I've heard preachers preach on this, where they're talking about the, well, what I call abundance theology. And my particular reference is the place in Deuteronomy where it talks about the blessings and the curses, and how if they obey God and do everything that God would like, they will be blessed, and if they disobey, they will be cursed. And it talks a lot about fruits and having land, being wealthy, and all of that. And then in the New Testament, in Luke, you hear Jesus talking to the rich man who wants to know how he will inherit eternal life, and Jesus tells him, obey all the commandments, and the rich man says, I've done all this, what else do I need to do? And Jesus tells him, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. So in that case, and I know they're different, but I have difficulty explaining
yeah.
That difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'd just like to get your take on that.
Yeah, a couple of things. In the Old Testament, the principle is the same as in the New Testament, which is blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. But the point of the Old Testament is oftentimes cast within the context of a theocratic kingdom, where you have a people that are promised that if they obey, they will be given the privileged position in a promised land to be a light to the nations. But instead of being a light to the nations, they prostituted themselves with the nations, and as a result of that, they suffered cursing. So instead of being in a land that flowed with milk and honey, they suddenly found themselves in exile, either in Assyria or in Babylonia. So they lost their prerogative, their privilege as a people of God because they prostituted themselves with the paganism of other cultures that they were called to reach rather than to repeat. In the New Testament, the principle is the same, which is to say that if you follow God, if you follow His commandments, then you will be prosperous and successful. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you'll have a bigger home or more possessions. It means that you will have peace in the midst of the storm because you are now in the care of the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So the same principle applies. Now, as far as the rich young ruler, he really loved possessions more than he loved the Lord, which is the problem with the modern faith teachers. They are inviting people to come to the master's table, not because they love the master, but rather because they love what is on the master's table, so they have everything standing on its head. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Lens Man broadcast. Stay tuned.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. We know that a monthly gift is a big commitment. Not only is it a financial sacrifice, but when life itself gets busy, it can be hard remembering to send your gift each month. And that's why we've created simple, secure, automated giving opportunities through your credit or debit card. And to thank you for this service that you perform that is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. To sign up today to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith, on the other as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts.
Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information. Information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Archaeologist's Spade, a special preview booklet of excerpts from Hank Hanegraaff's upcoming work titled Has God Spoken, lays out for you many archaeological truths biblical minimalists don't want you to know. Resources like this and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are a team effort. That's not just CRI's great staff of researchers, editors, and technicians. You are a part of the team yourself when you join with us through your generous gifts. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to join the team with your gift today. Now back to Hank Hanegraaff and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I need many of you to take a step of faith right now to join us as team members, as those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast prayerfully and financially on an ongoing monthly basis, whether it's $15 a month or $25 a month or $50 a month, many people taking that step together can form a solid foundation on which to continue reaching people for time and for eternity. And as my way of saying thank you, I'll give you the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal absolutely free. My way of saying thank you for joining us as a co-laborer in a ministry that is bearing abundant, abiding fruit. You can become a Bible Answer Man monthly support team member in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, but don't leave it to somebody else. Make the decision to join today. Again, you can do so on the World Wide Web right now at equip.org. or by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by at 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cynthia, listening on WTRU in Monroe, North Carolina. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing? Thanks for your ministry.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
My question is about reconciliation. I know the Bible says that the Lord hates divorce and presently separated and due to domestic violence. Spouse wants to reconcile, and I don't know how to go about doing that. He says he's gotten help, but I don't have any way of proving it or disproving it.
Yeah, I think this is a classic case in point where you've made a very wise decision because physical abuse is involved. And you're also wise to consider reconciliation, but to do that with wisdom means that you're going to do that within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. In other words, you want someone objective to look at this situation and say, yes, it's safe for you to be reconciled in this circumstance. And when you're involved subjectively, you're not necessarily going to make the best decision. You can give someone advice yourself as long as you're not subjectively involved, and then by definition that advice is objective. But when you're subjectively involved, you need an objective opinion from someone else because you don't always see things as clearly as you should. Therefore, again, you need counseling in a healthy, well-balanced church. There's no shortcut. Particularly in this kind of a circumstance, you want to make sure that someone can evaluate the situation, know that it's a safe situation to go back into, and know that what you now wonder, is he sincere? Is he not sincere? Has he changed? Has he not? That you have some kind of objective evaluation on that.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Teresa. She's listening in Jerseyville, Illinois. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I had a question about salvation, particularly for children who have a developmental disability. My son, I have two sons, and one is typically developing, if there is such a thing, and my youngest son has severe autism. And I have always had a peace in my spirit about his salvation. And really, even though he's nonverbal and I don't get to interact and know him on the level that I know my older son who's verbal, I really feel like, you know, in heaven, one day, I will really get to know him, you know, in another way or something. I guess maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel better, but I'm kind of wondering what scripture is there to support salvation for, you know, maybe kids with cognitive disabilities who never maybe reach an age of accountability.
Yeah. Well, you're not just trying to make yourself feel better. You are actually embracing a truth in Scripture. God is not going to reject anyone that wants a relationship with Him, and certainly not going to say, well, because you're nonverbal, therefore you're out. God wants everyone to be reconciled to Him, and you're also looking forward correctly to a new heaven and a new earth in which your son will have no disability. In fact, we'll all be in that state. We are all disabled in various ways, either physically or metaphysically. In the New Jerusalem, there will be no such thing. Your son is going to flourish to complete perfection as though sin had never entered the world. And that will be true of you and me as well, because we're also imperfect people. So we groan now, because we're looking forward to something we don't have, and we're seeking or desiring it earnestly. We're looking forward to the redemption of our bodies and souls. We're looking forward to the redemption of the universe. That's the hope of Christianity. The hope of Christianity is not having perfection in this life. In fact, Christianity doesn't even give us a peaceful way to come to terms with disabilities. What it gives us is something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. So your hope is not something that just makes you feel better, but it is the kind of hope that you can trust your entire life to. You can be absolutely certain that you will not be disappointed in that hope. You know, you think about Jesus Christ. He suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, so that your son could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. So he's not looking to keep people out. He's done everything so that people might be reconciled to him. And that's not just the scripture verse. That's the story of scripture. That's his story. That is the redemptive unfolding plan of salvation from Genesis to Revelation.
I can't tell you how awesome that is. Just to reaffirm kind of what I, you know, already really firmly felt like God had, you know, tried to tell me when I was praying about this. But it, you don't hear a whole lot of sermons about children with disabilities. And, you know, God taught me so much about just stewardship of my children and reminding me how much He loves them more than I can imagine. So I really always had entrusted Luke, my son, to him, and really felt like that is what was going to happen. But it's so great to hear you sort of reaffirm that.
You know what C.S. Lewis said, Teresa? He said there are two kinds of people in the world. He said there are those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And there are also those to whom God, in the end, says, "Thy will be done," which is to say, if you don't want a relationship with me, I'm not going to force that relationship on you, either in time or in eternity. And certainly your son doesn't fall into that category. the fact that he is nonverbal does not mean that he doesn't want a relationship with the one that created him. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, even internally, in a way that you and I can't fully comprehend, he has a relationship with God. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of his consciousness, and he is aware of God in that sense. He also can see, and as he looks around the universe, he can see the sun and the moon and the stars, and so he has the outer witness. And the fact of the matter is, the witness he already has internally and externally is pointing him to the ultimate witness, whether he can verbalize it or not. The only thing that would keep him out of heaven is if he absolutely in his heart did not want a relationship with the Lord. You and I both know that's not the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so, you know, you grieve the loss of a typical child when you have a child with special needs, but I quickly came to the acceptance that, you know, this life is just such a blink of an eye. It's so short, and eternity is going to be there, and all of this will seem so insignificant compared. I take a lot of comfort in knowing that this life is going to be very different from what I had anticipated for him, but the next life is going to be really awesome for all of us. So that's great to hear.
Well, it's great that you have two wonderful sons and appreciate them for all the gifts that God has given them. And you are going to, based on the Word of God, spend an eternity with them. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Oh, that's awesome. I think we'll get there, and Luke will be in charge of 10 cities, which is a kind of a nervous thought if you knew what he did to my house now.
Well, bless you, dear sister, and bless your children as well.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. And what a joy to know that in this world, we have suffering, and we have pain, and we have sorrow, but it's pointing us somewhere. It's not pointing us to health and wealth in this world. And those that say it is simply misread the Bible. They think that somehow or other we're supposed to have a palace like the Taj Mahal and perfect health. But reality is not that. Reality is what Jesus said. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So Christianity doesn't make it easier to deal with all the difficulties, and nor does it always answer the question why. But it does teach us to trust God in the midst of our whys. I don't know why Luke is suffering as he is with a disability. I don't know why we lost a preborn child, baby Grace. But I do trust God. And because I trust God, I can have peace in the midst of the storm. And I long for a day in which everything will be put to right by a God who is not only a righteous judge, but a God who is the epitome of love. He is the personification of love. And in the new heavens and the new earth, we will have fellowship and relationship with him on a level that we can't now comprehend. Not only that, but we will have relationship with one another on a level we cannot comprehend. Because there, our love will not be colored by self-interest and selfishness. There we will fly free and unfettered with selfless love. There we will be able to truly rejoice in another's successes. There we will forever have fellowship with the very one who created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who ordained all the days of our life, the one who loves us infinitely, and desired a relationship with us to such an extent that he was willing to give his all so that we could be reconciled with him in a renewed universe. Paradise lost, become paradise restored. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, more of your questions on the other side of the break, so please don't touch that dial. In the meantime, Check out equip.org if you've never been there.
If you've already become a member of our support team, committing to give on a monthly basis, we're deeply grateful for your loyalty and faithfulness. But no one appreciates your generosity more than the people who have a newfound confidence in their faith because of your support. For over 50 years, the Christian Research Institute has been entirely supported by people who've been blessed by our resources and choose to share that blessing with others. None of this would be possible without you. To become a regular monthly supporter, part of the backbone of this ministry, you can sign up securely online right now at equip.org. That's equip.org, or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. We encourage you to become a Bible Answer Man support team member through a monthly giving commitment. To thank you, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. For more information on a simple way to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Learn to have a real relationship with the lover of your soul with Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus. Available on audio CD or in paperback with study guide as a thank you for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you visit us on the web at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Many Bible minimalists claim there is little or no evidence to support the historical accounts in the Bible. Even the royal status of King David is brought into question in an article published by a popular magazine. How much do we really know about the ancient Middle East, the time of Christ, and other historical accounts in the Bible? Hank Hanegraaff gives you important archaeological truths demonstrating the historical reliability of the Bible in a new booklet, The Archaeologist's Spade, which is a sneak peek excerpt from his book forthcoming in 2011 titled, Has God Spoken? When you become a part of the Christian Research Institute team defending truth and standing with us financially and prayerfully, we'll get a copy of The Archaeologist's Spade in the mail to you right away. To partner with us, call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In 1993, Hank Hanegraaff released his award-winning, now classic book, Christianity in Crisis, carefully documenting the wildly distorted understanding of faith that millions of Christians embrace. In the 21st century, Christianity remains in crisis while the faith movement is expanding rapidly around the globe. And that is why Hank Hanegraaff has written an updated and expanded edition of this classic titled Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To say thank you for your faithfulness in partnering with the Christian Research Institute through your special gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a limited leather edition of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, personalized by Hank Hanegraaff. Go online to equip.org
or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go to our next caller, I want to mention Christianity in Crisis, limited leather edition, personalized, specially numbered for your gift to the ministry of $100 or more. Again, Christianity in Crisis, limited leather edition, personalized. All proceeds, 100%, go to the furtherance of this ministry. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or as always, pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Clara, listening on WTRU, Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Clara.
Hi, I have two questions. First, I wanted to know, is there ever a time that when we should be speaking in tongues for a prayer language? And I've been listening to all that you said about the faith movement of Joyce Myers and different pastors on the Trinity Network, because I support that network. And I was kind of like a little surprised. I wanted to ask you about Asian Rogers and what did you think of Charles Stanley?
Well, they're in a completely different category. They're completely evangelical teachers. While I wouldn't agree with them on every single secondary issue, on the essentials of the historic Christian faith, we stand shoulder to shoulder. And that's really how we should be. We should be in essentials in complete unity, in non-essentials have liberty, and in everything communicate charity. As far as your second question is concerned, with respect to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, it certainly has become increasingly common for Christians to suppose that the full gospel includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So the question, of course, is always raised, is speaking in tongues the evidence of being baptized by the Holy Spirit? But as the Apostle Paul makes plain, believers are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and yet not all who believe speak in tongues. And therefore, I would say tongues may be a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but tongues cannot be the manifestation. And even if you do speak in tongues, it is not a guarantee that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. I'm only a clanging cymbal. Indeed, according to Paul, without love, I'm just nothing. And it's unfortunate that socio-psychological manipulation tactics today, like peer pressure, or the subtle power suggestion, has been used to induce speaking in tongues wholly apart from the Holy Spirit. As the Bible makes plain, the normative sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, it's confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, it's repentance from sin, it's obedience to God. And those who live, therefore, in accordance with the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Of course, the mind of a sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life, it's peace. So the fruit of the Spirit is not merely speaking in tongues, it's love, joy, peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, righteousness, not tongues, is the core of Christianity, compressed in a single word. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Roger. He's listening on Bot Radio in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Roger.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I had a question. My wife, she got bipolar disorder, and she doesn't woman to take care of the children. She doesn't want to do the cleaning of the house. She doesn't want to cook. She doesn't want to go out to do anything. Basically, I can go to work, come back home, take care of the children while she just does her own thing. We tried counseling. She goes to counseling by herself now. I just don't know what to do, and that's why I called.
Roger, it is so easy for me to give advice in this kind of a circumstance, and I want you to realize that I recognize that talk is cheap. It's much more difficult when you're dealing with the situation. But let me say that when you marry someone, you say to that person, I'm going to care for you in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, until death do us part. And so
that's what I tell her all the time. And she always throws up that, life's hard and she just wants a divorce and she wants to go back to her parents' house. And I'm like, we don't need to give up, just a little bit more, we could take it day by day. And she just doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, and the thing about it, Roger, is that you cannot change anybody else. The only thing you can do is be changed yourself. One of the books that had an incredible impact on me as a new Christian was a book that probably isn't in print anymore, but it was the story about a woman who had a child who was essentially a vegetable, couldn't show love or give love, and took 24/7 care. And in immersing herself in that boy named Johnny, she was changed. He could never give her an ounce of love, but she learned the genuine meaning of love, which is that love is not merely feelings. Love is a commitment. The feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment never changes. So she was changed in that process. Now, obviously, if your wife wants to get a divorce and leave you, you're not bound in that circumstance. But as long as you have the opportunity, commitment, and genuine love, which is founded on commitment, as long as you have that opportunity, by God's grace, He'll give you the strength to be able to deal with a very difficult circumstance. But I also think it's really good, and you mentioned this in the prologue to your question, that you're getting some counsel. This is not the kind of thing that you want to endure alone. That's why when you become a believer, you're not a Lone Ranger believer, but you've been born into a community of faith, and that community can rally around you when you have difficult times, and that's what you need now. You need not just some advice from me as an electronic voice, but you need people within the body of Christ, perhaps in your small group, but within the body of Christ that can care for your circumstance, that you can be counseled by and encouraged by and exhorted by and edified by. You can't go this alone. You were never meant to.
Thank you so much.
You got it. And I will commit to pray for you earnestly tonight that God will give you the strength and the courage and the resources to continue on and in the process be pleasing to God.
Oh, thank you so much.
You got it, Roger. Thank you so much for calling. There are so many questions that we get at the Christian Research Institute. John wrote me recently and asked me whether I heard the report of the Red Sea parting and whether or not that was a natural wind occurrence and had nothing to do with God. And what's my take on that? Well, my take on that, and by the way, he says it's being reported on Fox and CNN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The point here is that there are a lot of people that are simply closed-minded, which is to say they only want natural explanations for the phenomenon that they encounter in this world. But if you're truly open-minded, you will allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations. And the Bible clearly demonstrates that this was a supernatural act of God. And supernaturalism is just something we assume as Christians because we live not only in an age of scientific enlightenment, but in an age in which we should be scripturally enlightened. And we see that the universe didn't spring from nothing. Nothing cannot create everything. No, we know that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So this anti-supernatural bias is simply an example of a world in which there are a lot of closed-minded people, and we should, with our open-minded reason, be able to use that objection as an opportunity to share the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human life. The Red Sea, the Bible tells us, was a miracle of biblical proportions. The waters were divided, with the waters being like a wall on both sides. And the text says that the Israelites crossed over on dry land. Upon God's command to Moses, the text tells us, after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, and by the way, this isn't the Reed Sea, as some would have us believe, the waters returned to their normal state, and they covered the chariots and the horsemen, drowning Pharaoh's entire army. So this is not a natural wind occurrence. It is a supernatural occurrence that invades time and space by the prerogative of God. And we should know that even in this occasion, where Pharaoh and his army are drowned, we have the certain knowledge from Scripture that mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Because every time God showed mercy, Pharaoh responded in disobedience. And that's why Exodus can tell us overtly and plainly that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He had every opportunity to repent and to come to know, as many of his countrymen did, come to know Yahweh, the God of Israel, because some of his countrymen were leaving with the Israelites, because Israel is not by nationality, it is by spirituality. And therefore, they were true Israel on the way to a promised land. And we today are on our way to a promised land, because Paradise Lost was not encapsulated in a piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. That land pointed forward to something, and that is a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband. That's what we long for, that's what we hope for, and that is our supernatural reality to come. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Check us out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, remember our direct line to the resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Out of here. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7-plus inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe.
All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Anagraph's acronym, DISCERN, is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, helping friends find their way to Christ, the biblical concept of family, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.